Thanks for joining us on our podcast, We Are More Than Menopause. Allie and I have been best friends since we were 14 and have always leaned on each other through our entire life cycles. Throughout our friendship, we relied on advice from authors and books like Judy Blume, and as we got older, we read The Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy. When we raised our daughters, we read Girlology. But we found that during midlife, there was no guide. So we went back to each other and realized we had to be the guides. And then we thought, what do other people do that don't have a girlfriend to chat with? So here we are, your girlfriends guiding you through, sharing what we've learned, our trials, our tribulations, the nitty-gritty, not-so-pretty parts, and all the ways we can embrace this stage of our life. Because ladies, we are more than menopause.
Welcome to We Are More Than Menopause, the podcast. And today we want to welcome our friend, Andrea Enright. And yay! Andrea, you guys, we need to post a picture, but we're going to do that later. Andrea, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about her. She is a small town girl living in a Colorado world. She's an entrepreneur since 2001, specializing in strategic storytelling and brand messaging for both corporate and coaching clients. Andrea is now passionate about helping professionals get brave with their personal brand and the rest of their life. Her experience includes content marketing, B movie acting, although you did say B minus. I'm not sure if that is a hyphen or a minus, maybe acting, and plenty of hitchhiking in dangerous countries, which we are not going to tell our kids about because God forbid our daughters should do that. But she has a podcast called Permission to Be Human, where she claims that freedom is the new F word. So it's actually a fantastic podcast. I've listened to it a number of times. But Andrea, the first thing that we want to talk about is your hat that you're wearing. And we're going to, all of you need to
not
see
a hat.
Yes, not a hat. What are you wearing on your head? Please share with us.
Thanks for having me, Pam and Allie. So this is a spirit crown. And my friend Sophie Howell makes these, crafts them herself out of these very different materials. And it just elevates your presence. It takes you up to goddess status. And it can be used for, rites of passage or, markers of momentous occasions. Sometimes I wear it to Trader Joe's. Janelle and I always wear it on our podcast. We just wear different ones. And yeah, just makes you feel like, you're in the flow. We like to say in the flow of magic and miracles.
I love it. I just want to, for our listeners that don't see it right now, I want to explain it to you. It is this beautiful tawny gray and cream feathers. And she has, it looks like lace almost, or is that wood? What is that?
Yeah, this is like little like jewelry pieces.
Yeah, that's like looks like
shine, like
gems, shiny, copper.
And then this is little pieces of wood.
Wood.
Like stuff you would get at Michael, or stuff you would get at Joanne Fabric or Michael.
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful headdress.
Thank you. Yes. Sophie's amazing. And I've learned to be crafty, but I'm not particularly crafty, but yeah, it's nice.
It's beautiful.
Back really comfortably with this like nice
shirt. It's beautiful. So the one thing that I, there's a psychological study that was done many years ago about, especially for women, about when you are, you need to uplift yourself. You need to, maybe you're going into a difficult meeting or a difficult conversation. Get yourself bigger, put your hands up, get as tall as you can, stretch, and then sit up straight. Well, your headdress is part of that too. And I love that. You're reaching up, you're bigger than you are. You're bringing your confidence to light. And I love that. Thanks for bringing it on.
I used to know this woman who'd be like, in the middle of the day, she'd be like, just like get into a warrior pose,
There you go. Exactly.
Like, why not just kind of like,
just do it.
Embody your energy and your power. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that right now. Like, that's not enough. I haven't been to yoga class in a while.
I think that there's something about owning yourself, right? And owning, and I wonder if like when you're kind of feeling like having kind of an off day, if you just put it on and if that changes how you feel about yourself. I mean, I know like when I'm having like a really crappy day if I get dressed and I put makeup on and I actually put clothes on that don't involve elastic waistbands, that you actually feel different about yourself. So that's the perfect, it's the perfect crown on top of our heads. That's amazing. So Andrea, I love the new statement that freedom is the new F word. I'm a big F word person. I drop the F word like people use and the. But can you explain a little bit about what that means to you?
Yeah, sure. It's, well, and I think that some people might say, well, like, I feel free. Like, what's the deal? But I heard Glennon Doyle say that she wanted her children to feel both held and free. And I was like, no, yeah, that's great. And I want to feel both held and free. And I realized that even though I was expressing myself for a long time in my life, and I'm kind of just a natural expressor. I'm an extrovert. I like to write. I like to decorate and obviously spirit crown expressing, but social and cultural conditioning is just so strong. And I realized at some point that there's these deep ideas from childhood, also from rom-coms and Disney, like, you know, Forever and Fairy Tale, that really get in and they say, no, this is how it's going to be. Just wait till you're an adult and then everything's going to come together.
Yeah,
and it's all
perfect. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I think I probably watched a lot of TV and a lot of movies, and you watch people moving into a house, and then in the next shot, everything is on the walls and everything is plugged in and everything looks beautiful.
Yeah.
You don't show the transitions, right? And so I feel like that was, in a sense, something I had to come to and say, oh, if this is wrong, what else is wrong? Like, and I learned we had an episode called, you know, question everything, especially your mother's advice. Love my mom. My mom's amazing. She gave me such great advice. And I've learned now to question it. And the idea of this freedom is that I am free to do things my way. If there's consent, if there's kindness, if it's aligning with my values, then that means I can do marriage my own way, parenthood my own way, my living room my own way. I've mod podged book pages all over one of my walls. You know, I can do things my way. The only trouble is that there's no map and there's no template. So I have to build the map myself.
So a beautiful, sorry, Allison, didn't mean to interrupt you, but it is actually a beautiful way to, for us, when we talk about like the transition of midlife and women, it's a beautiful way for us to think about the fact that we can create our own new chapter. It's like you said, there is a lot of history from our family of origin and society that really imprints us what we need to be doing and what we should be doing. And I think that in midlife, especially women, it's almost like a new chapter. It's a reinvention of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And to find what works for us and who we are in ways that we've never really questioned and searched for, I think is an important topic.
So I just wanted to piggyback on what both of you said, in that as women, we have had these roadmaps, right? Go to college, get married, don't get married, have a career. We just keep going. Well, I know I came to a place where it's like, okay, check, 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 check. Where's my map?
Yep. Or worse, still not happy.
Still not happy and still on that same journey and not happy. But I love that you pinpointed that, you know, our maps can change.
Yeah,
and we can pivot with that change, and that is really what freedom is.
I completely agree, Allison. That's the point, is that you can change the map. But a lot of people are stuck thinking, well, I made this decision when I was 27.
Right.
It's too late. Like, I'm living in this silo and that's where I am. And I'm saying no. And it takes a lot of bravery to jump these places. But
so much courage.
Yeah, a lot of courage. And Allison, to your point, when I was 27, 28, you know, my husband and I were like, well, I did all the things I was supposed to do. Like, I checked all the boxes. I got the internship. There were know, there's no ski season in Steamboat for me. I was on track with my resume, getting my job. Mm-hmm. And then we reached a point and I was like, gosh, I feel I'm just kind of empty. Like, what's next? And we call that the escalator, you know, like getting on the escalator, yes, keep going. And you're very future focused. And I'm definitely very future oriented. I'm mm-hmm. such a planner. And so we got to that point where we were like, oh, we're checking boxes instead of opening them.
Checking boxes.
I like that.
Opening them.
I like that.
Right?
But it's also hard to go shopping mm-hmm. for boxes when you really have never been exposed to boxes.
True. Right.
Of the metaphor. Yeah. So we were like, okay. So we quit our corporate jobs. Rent centers and joined the Peace Corps. I was 30 the day I left for the Peace Corps. Wow. And that completely changed our lives. You know, that set us
How long were you in the Peace Corps?
And you know, it's a 27-month service, 27 yeah. months, not one day less service. And then we couch surfed and hitchhiked across the Middle East and North Africa for 10 months.
What did you do in the Peace Corps?
So we were looking for a mud hut. And we got a communist block apartment. We were in Sofia, Bulgaria, the capital.
Uh-huh.
I helped a craft store that was started by the British Embassy. So we helped socially disadvantaged artisans to create crafts, and then we sold them to expats. So I helped them with marketing. And, you know, it was a very modern experience. We had an Indian restaurant down the street. We had Wi-Fi. I went to a lot of expat parties, and that's where I was in the B-movies because we were cheap labor.
Right, what else are you going to do in Sofia?
So I have a question about that, because I have followed the check marks. And now I'm, you know, over 50 and I'm still been following those check marks. How do you become brave enough to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to open another box and I want to dig into that box. How do you find your courage to make that leap?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And it's really hard. It's a struggle. I struggled with it. I was like, no, stay with the familiar. But I think I was also, my husband always says, I have a lot of moxie. Like, I'll say yes to crazy shit, but mm-hmm. then I'm probably just going to bitch a lot along the way because I'm anxious. So for me, it was like, I always would try new stuff, but then I'd be like, oh, this is so scary. So, you know, it's all about trying new stuff, continuing to reinvent yourself. And I'd say the number one thing it's about being uncomfortable. It's about willing to be uncomfortable, because I do believe that discomfort leads to growth. And I believe discomfort leads to a greater capacity to love. So
absolutely. That's beautiful. That's the uncomfortable is what we can't be afraid of, that uncomfortable. We have to embrace it.
Yes.
And
we have to get comfortable. I always say we have to get comfortable with the discomfort.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In our society, you know, we get comforts like more uncomfortable. Like, I'm cold. Get me a coat.
Oh, absolutely. And it's immediate.
I need a spatula. Get it on Amazon. It'll be here in 2 hours. Like, just everything is so quick.
True.
And so,
have you been in my head this morning? I need a Tide stick. Can I order a Tide stick on Amazon? It's 7,000 degrees, and I will be uncomfortable outside driving to CVS to get my Tide stick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, to your point, Allison, like, get that discomfort is really important, and I have found that. You know, two things. It's like being alone originally was not comfortable to me.
Sure.
Like, I'm an extrovert. I get energy off of other people. And I would go away to an Airbnb for a weekend just to like get away from my family and, you know, kind of have some alone time. And I would be good for about 24 hours. And then I would be like, I gotta talk to my people. Right. Like, but I found that being alone is a huge catalyst for growth for me. Like, really getting quiet, really getting slowing down. And I moved to Costa Rica for a year with my family, and that helped incredibly because when you're in a different culture like that, they are not in a hurry.
They're not in a hurry.
Yeah. No sense of urgency.
No, yeah. Right. And I thought I was calling it anxiety, but you're totally right. It's really just this lack of urgency.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember coming in and saying, hey, I need you to help me. And they're like, no, I want you to be anxious. I want you to be upset. And they're just like, nope, not doing it. Like, right. And so, you know, load me down. Yeah.
I think we talk about that idea of being alone. And it's also like turning off the noise. I think that we are so programmed for input, right? It's input of our friends, input of our family, input of, like we're input in podcasts, we're reading books. There's so much input that to turn off the noise, like I get into my car sometimes and I don't even turn the radio on. I actually just like the quiet. It gives me a chance.
You have to force yourself to do it. You have to force yourself to do it because that doesn't come easy. That's not something you're just like, oh, I'm just craving this quiet time. For me, I have to go, okay, I need to shut down the world. And I feel uncomfortable because I am that person that has to have all these things going on 900 times because, you know, as a mom for all these years and a worker and, you know, having careers and schools and all that, you're used, that's your normal. So that's what you're comfortable with. Like, oh, that quiet and stillness is not comfortable. And you need to learn to be able to pause. Because this is an important part of our life, to pause and understand that it's going to be uncomfortable, but you'll be able to find, you know, your passions. You'll be able to find, you know, answers to questions. You'll be able to find, you know, who you are and what you want next in your life or what you want right now. You'll be able to find out what's going right in your world. And you'll be able to process things that are on your mind, but you have to pause. And that's why I love the word menopause, is because it's really a midlife pause.
Nice.
You now get to go, you know what? It's time for me to pause and think about what's for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that really segues into this, to building a relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I have learned to do. I thought if someone had asked me that 20 years ago, I just would have been like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You know? And
of course I had a relationship with myself.
Right. Exactly. I would have said yes.
Pardon of me. Course.
But now I'm like, oh, I see. Now I really have a relationship with myself. And, you know, recognizing ourselves as our own friend is huge, but you know, when it can be lonely. Like I did 100 days of haiku earlier this fall. And one of my haikus was, saw an old friend yesterday, couldn't quite place her. Wait, that's a mirror.
Mm.
You know,
that's beautiful.
Mm. So, wow. Do you think that your younger self, if you could give your 20-year-old self a piece of advice, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. I would say the first thing that comes to mind is stop people pleasing. Connect with yourself first and then connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
I would say less should, more shine.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the shoulds. Mm-hmm. Forget what is supposed to happen, what wants to happen, what wants to be born. I would say read the room. And then go with that and drop your agenda.
Hmm. That's three great pieces of advice. Read the room. Drop your agenda. Shine.
Let's
and what was the third one again? One more time. First one.
What I said first. Stop people pleasing. What I say is when you walk people
pleasing,
connect with yourself first and then connect with others.
Right.
And I was probably in my early days and it served me well. I have to say, you know, when you know how to chat with people, it definitely works in your favor.
Absolutely.
But this is what I had to learn with my daughter who's 14. In the beginning, I was like, she's not talking to those people enough. You know, she's not saying enough, please and thank you. She's not, but she's like owning her own. She's like, oh, I'm not up for that right now. Like, I'm going to go, I need some alone time. Right. And growing up, that was alone time. That was not a phrase.
Right.
Come on. You didn't get time to rest. Like company was here. Get outside. Come on.
And it's funny. I have a daughter who's 27, and she can walk into a room and she can own the room. She can stand in front of 5,000 people and she can speak. And I just look at her with in such awe. I was like, how do you do that? And she said, I think that every person in this room is my best friend, and I can be authentically me in that room.
Wow.
They're all my best.
That's friend. A gift. That's
it's a gift. Yeah.
It is a gift.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how she does that.
She's connecting at a human level, and that is what we're taught to do as speakers. Right. And this is something I crave naturally anyway. I always say I like a nice stranger. Like, I just love talking to strangers and I love making that human connection.
That's why I sit at bars, because I like to, I like to talk to people at bars.
I loved it. Yes, absolutely. They're so interesting.
Even the bartender, I built one relationship. My husband and I go to bars every weekend. That's where we sit at restaurants. We always sit at a bar.
Really? And
yeah. It's all about connecting with people and building relationships. Allison, what would you say to your 20-year-old self?
Slow down.
Mm.
You're moving too fast. You don't have to accomplish everything right now. Figure out who you are before you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And
Does that happen?
Huh?
Does that generally happen? Do people?
I think you change.
You got married very young.
I got married too young, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't take time to figure out who I was, though. I didn't stop. I just was like, got to go to school. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I didn't stop, you know, and figure out what I like, what I don't like. And I was so busy conforming to everybody else and expectations. So I think that would have eventually led me to where I am now, but it would have been an easier journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're not, you know, maybe today people are getting married later, you know, and they're figuring out who they are first, but you can really hold your own boundary and say, no, this is who I am before you partner. That's what makes a conscious relationship. And we talk a lot about conscious relationships, like how you can have a relationship where the idea is that you love the person and yourself more than you love the actual relationship. And so you're committed to the growth of each person. And that's the most important thing. And if that growth means that you're not together anymore, that might be true.
I mean, we definitely, my husband always says he's on his third wife. We've been married for 35 years. Because who you are in your 20s is not who you are in your 30s. Mm-hmm. It's not who you are in your 40s and 50s. And so I think that you have a choice. Regardless, you have to grow. But you have a choice of whether or not you can grow together or you grow apart. But either way, you have to do the work. And I think that's the big lesson, is that we don't know what the fallout is. And we don't know who we're going to be at the end of our journey. But the fact that we're still asking questions, and that we need to ask questions, and that we need to go on this journey and own our journeys. I mean, it has taken us a million iterations to become the women Absolutely. That we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the important piece of all of this is that we continue to ask questions and look for ourselves in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Keep going.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Andrea, tell us a little bit about, you know, we found you because you're an amazing personal brand. You help people become, you know, brand themselves. And sometimes that's part of reinvention. Sometimes that's part of finding a job. Sometimes it's about just finding yourself. But can you give us a little bit about what you do with how you help people with your personal branding and any kind of podcasts or how people can find you? We'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, sure. So I run my own business for about 22 years. excuse me. It's So I've run the Boot Factor for about 22 years. It is a personal branding business, and I really specialize in helping ex-corporate coaches and consultants to reinvent themselves, increase their vibration, raise their voice, and boost their impact. Often people are getting out of a corporate situation and they're like, I want to do things my way.
Right.
They may have exhausted their network. They know the value of outsourcing and they realize the value of a personal brand. These days, when people look you up on Google, LinkedIn's going to be the first thing that comes up. What story are people telling themselves about you? And you want to make sure that it's the right one. And so if people are seeking clients or board positions or to reinvent their life, maybe they've just gotten a divorce, maybe their mom just passed away. I often help people who are in what I call the liminal. I used to call it the horrible hallway, but it is space between rites of passage where you've already shut the door on your old life and you're not sure, you know, in that horrible hallway as you're walking down, it's very narrow and none of the doors have knobs.
Wow.
You're not sure yet. You know, you're not sure what room you're going to walk into. And so I do a lot of handholding and soft accountability as I walk them through that journey and then help them reinvent themselves with a personal brand online.
Wow, that's incredible. That can be used not just for corporations, but, you know, when I was looking at it, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm in the process of rebranding myself to my own authentic me. You know, I've been able to pause and really look inward to see who I am, what I like, what I don't like, you know, my relationships, setting boundaries, which, you know, are difficult to do, but, you know, setting boundaries. And I think that's part of the reinvention. And that's such a beautiful service that you're able to provide, Andrea.
Yeah. And I really, you know, resonate with what you said, you know, figuring out what you want, because I think as moms and daughters and wives, I did catch myself as opinionated as I can be sort of when I say to my daughter and my husband, where do you want to eat tonight? And they may have an opinion and I may have an opinion, but I'm so used to like, oh, well, that's fine.
Deferring to everybody else.
Everybody else. What do you want?
Yeah. And so it is actually quite a challenge sometimes to say, well, what do I feel like having myself?
Right. Right.
Not what's most convenient, not what's cheapest, not what's
accommodating. What do I want?
Right. Which is, it's bizarre that the fact that we have to figure out what we want first.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're always the last people. Right. Absolutely. We're always the last people on the list. And so I think now what we have to start doing is elevating ourselves to being on the list, being at the top and figuring out, like you said, start asking ourselves questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of those, that hallway that we're in, the truth is we're the ones that create the doorknobs.
Nice.
Love it. There's so many beautiful pictures here, aren't there?
I know. The visual in this. Visual. In the podcast is amazing.
Like, look, so I have these doorknobs. I have these doorknobs. My mom put this together for me, and you could totally find something like this at Marshall's.
Wow.
But she collected these doorknobs from my grandma's house and my sorority house and my
old beautiful
farm and then put them on. Wow. I just realized that you just put this metaphor together for me. I have the knobs right here.
You do.
You have them. And those knobs is your experience. Where have you been?
Right.
But the doors that you walk through now, what's on the other side of that door is really what you create.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, this has been a very deep podcast.
It really has been. It's very deep.
Good stuff.
It's been beautiful.
I wanted to just like shout out, I do a podcast. It's called Permission to Be Human. You can find us at permissiontobehuman.live. And it's really about listening to our voices. You'll get real-time relationship woo and wisdom about breaking the rules, blurring boundaries, and finding your personal catalyst so that we can create a new template and a new map for life love and relationships. We like to say that freedom is the new F word. And it's my friend Janelle and I talking in real time, sometimes with tantrums, sometimes with laughter.
about- we love girlfriend chat.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. There's some edgy topics in there.
Yay. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. And the truth is that you have opened yourself up to a whole world that most of us have not been exposed to. And, you know, it's not been on anybody's radar necessarily, because it's like you said, it's not one of those boxes that you get when you're younger that you should, you know, start looking at and checking off. And so yay for you for having the courage to create your own shopping list now and look for the boxes that you want. I freaking love it.
Thank you, Pam. And I encourage all the audience members to find your truth. Like, find your catalyst and find your truth. No one can define your truth except for you.
And now's the time.
More shine.
Amen. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much. We are going to link your podcast in our show notes and make sure people know how to find you.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrea. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. So everybody, don't forget to subscribe to We Are More Than Menopause. Sign up for our newsletter. It's on the website link, We Are More Than Menopause. And we look forward to talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.